नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिनि। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। दिस इज नॉट वर्किंग। Hare Krishna. So projector is not there, but all of you have Bhagavad Gita's, right? You have Subodhini's also? Yeah, you can just see that. Basically, today we are discussing a overview of entire Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters. Sakhagadarpu asked me to do this because some of you will be leaving, right? After Bhagavad Gita. By the time I come back, we will complete Bhagavad Gita. That's the reason he told you take an overview. So, in the next 3 hours, we will discuss Bhagavad Gita. What is the gist of Bhagavad Gita? What is the flow of all the 18 chapters of Gita? What are the interconnections between different chapters and sections? So, that's the subject matter. We are not going into great details, but we'll get a skeleton, a bird's eye view of entire Gita. Okay, that's the whole theme. So Gita is considered a jewel box by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He has written a commentary called Sarartha Varshini on Bhagavad Gita. He compares Bhagavad Gita to be a beautiful gem-studded jewel box. And the bottom portion of the box is the first 6 chapters of Gita that talks predominantly about Karma Yoga. The upper lid of the Gita is the last 6 chapters that predominantly talks about Jnana Yoga. And the jewel which is inside the box, the most precious jewel, is Bhakti Yoga, the middle 6 chapters, chapter number 7 to 12. So that talks about Bhakti Yoga, right? So now, Gita, as you know, talks about 5 universally relevant topics. They are Ishvara, Jiva, Kala, Karma, Prakriti. Ishvara is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is God? Jiva, who am I? Kala, what is this time factor affecting me in various ways? Karma, what am I supposed to do? What is the reaction to my action? And Prakriti, what is this nature around me? So Gita sufficiently analyzes these 5 topics. Now, coming to the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in this first chapter, we see that Arjuna observes the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Gita begins with Dhritarashtra's words to Sanjaya. He says, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha Mamakaha Pandavaschaiva Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre, in that holy place of Kurukshetra, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha. Some people have assembled with great eagerness to fight with each other. Who are they? Mamakaha Pandavaschaiva. My sons and Pandu's sons. Dhritarashtra separated his sons and Pandu's sons right in the beginning. Kimakurvata Sanjaya, what did they do? When they assembled on the battlefield to fight, what will they do? They will fight. Okay, the question seems redundant, but it is not so. Dhritarashtra was hopeful that maybe Pandavas will give up their claim over the kingdom. Maybe they will become renounced because of the influence of holy place. Maybe they will go away from the battlefield and my sons will get all the kingdom. So that was his hope. And he was also fearing. Pandavas are anyways righteous, virtuous. My sons are not like that. So maybe Pandavas will defeat my sons. He was also thinking like that. So he had fears in his mind. He had hopes in his mind. Therefore, he asked this question. It's not a totally relevant question. Okay. Then Sanjaya begins to describe. Sanjaya, because of the blessings of Vyasadeva, he had a special power to visualize what's happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and then narrate everything to his master Dhritarashtra. Now Sanjaya says that, Dhritarashtra, you know what's happening on the battlefield? Duryodhan went to his guru Dronacharya. And also, in the presence of Bhishma and many other chief members of his army, he started speaking. He said that, I have arranged such great army and Pandavas also have arranged a great army, but our army, protected by Bhishma, is in a much better condition compared to Pandavas' army, which is protected by Bhima, because Bhima is a less experienced general compared to Bhishma. Jai, Vrindavan Bihari ki jai. Okay. So like that, Duryodhan expressed his fears through his words to Dronacharya, and he also expressed his worries, but diplomatically he also covered his fears. Fine. So then Krishna, Arjuna and all the Pandavas blew their conchals. Before that, Bhishma also blew the conchal to mark the beginning of the war. Then Arjuna told Krishna, Krishna, can you please take my chariot between both the armies? I just want to see what's happening there. Who all have assembled there? Arjuna already picked up his Gandiva bow. He also picked up his arrows. He was about to shoot arrows. Then he says, let me see who assembled there. Basically, he confronted on the battlefield, but he was not convinced. Sometimes in life, we confront with someone or we venture into doing something, but we are not fully convinced about it. Okay, so these confusions are very common. So Arjuna went between the armies. Krishna takes the chariot between both the armies and Arjuna sees who all have assembled on the battlefield. Arjuna saw his own relatives, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, cousins, sons, grandsons. He has seen so many people. He was overwhelmed with emotions, compassion. Then he said, Krishna, I cannot fight. Why? He had four reasons. Number one, he became compassionate on his own relatives. Out of compassion, his body is trembling, his eyes are shedding tears, and his hairs are standing on end, not in ecstasy, but in anxiety. So in this way, he became very compassionate towards his own family members. That's the first reason why he did not want to fight. Second reason, even if I win this war, even if I get this kingdom, I can't see any enjoyment here. Okay. Without relatives, how can I enjoy? So he was foreseeing no enjoyment even in his victory. That's the second reason. Third reason, he was fearful of sinful reactions. We are killing so many people on the battlefield. What will happen to their family members? So even though people who are wanting to fight with us are aggressors, still, if we kill them, we'll incur sinful reactions. We cannot kill our own family members. That's his logic. So he was fearful of sinful reactions. Fourth is that So many soldiers assembled on the battlefield, they will eventually die. Some of them, or most of them, will die, and their family members, their wives and their children and their parents, so all of them will not have any guidance in their life. So the family traditions will be lost. Jati dharmas and kula dharmas will be lost. When elder members are not there in the family, the younger members will not have proper inspiration and guidance. Therefore, all the family traditions will be lost. So these are the four reasons why he did not want to fight. One, compassion. Second, foreseeing no enjoyment. Third, fear of sinful reactions. Fourth, fearing the loss of family traditions. Okay. Then he said, Krishna, I cannot fight. So that's a quick summary of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Clear? Is this space okay? Without going in this space, we will not cover all 18 chapters. Right? So second chapter, we will not go at this space. Second chapter is a little detailed, right? So I'll spend more time on second chapter. So second chapter is entitled The Contents of Gita Summarized. So second chapter introduces us to several topics that Krishna is going to elaborately describe throughout Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter presentation is super compact. So sometimes you can't understand completely. Krishna talks about Nishkama Karma Yoga, but it's not fully given in second chapter, right? So second chapter is like a quick summary of all the contents of Gita, which is also quite comprehensive. 72 shlokas are there. So Arjuna, when he said that I cannot fight, Krishna looked at Arjuna, overwhelmed with compassion, lamentation and tears on a material plane. He chastised Arjuna. Klaibhyam asmagamaha partha naitat vayupapadyate kshudram hridaya dorbalyam tyaktva tishtaparantapa. So why are you becoming so weak-hearted, Arjuna? This is not proper. This kind of nature in you, this kind of indecisiveness in you will not lead to higher planets, will not enhance your glory. It will only defame you. Akirtikaram Arjuna, it will cause bad reputation to you. So just give up this weak-heartedness and start fighting. Then again Arjuna, despite receiving Krishna's chastisement, Arjuna felt still indecisive, confused. He said, no, I cannot understand what is my duty. How can I kill Bhishma, my grandfather? How can I kill Drona, my teacher? So did you kill your teacher Sandipurimani? Did you kill your grandfather Ugrasena? Why are you expecting me to do so? So it's too much for me to handle this. So, but I'm a Kshatriya. My duty is to fight. It seems it's appropriate for me to fight. So Arjuna knew that it was his right to fight, but he did not know whether it was right to fight. Right? Is it appropriate to fight? He had right, but he did not know whether he's right. So I hope you got the difference between two rights. So then in such a situation of confusion, Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. He said, Krishna, you are my friend. You are my cousin. You have become my driver now. Can you become my teacher now? So Krishna can play all roles in relationship with the Pandavas. So Arjuna said, Karpanya doshopahata svabhavaham Prichhamitvam dharma sammoodha chetaham Yah shreyasyan nischitam bruhitan me Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam Karpanya dosha apahata svabhavaha. Kripana means a miser. What is the nature of a miser? He has so much property, so much wealth, he will not use it for his own welfare. So why Arjuna is saying that I have Karpanya dosha? He's a human being, he's a warrior, he's a Kshatriya. He has so much intelligence and experience, but he's unable to utilize it now. Okay, you have wealth, you're unable to utilize it. You don't want to utilize it, you're a miser. You have intelligence, you're unable to apply it. Then also you're a miser. Don't fail to apply your high and advanced intelligence. Then you'll become miserly. So because of this miserly weakness, because of my inability to apply my intelligence, I am totally confused about my duty. Dharma sammodha chetaha. means I am confused about my own duty. So, yaha shreyasyan nischitam bruhitanme. Can you please tell me what causes auspiciousness to me? Can you please tell me for certain what is auspicious for me, what is good for me? Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. I accept you as my guru. I have become your disciple. Please help me. So when Arjuna surrendered himself to Krishna like that, Krishna smiled. Oh, the warrior whose chariot I am driving has now become my student. So let me enlighten him. So the first teaching of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is the science of soul. He says, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavvanam jaram tatha dehantara praptihi dhiras tatra namuhyati. Arjuna, you are overly getting emotional, thinking that you are going to kill your relatives. Please understand, body is never alive, soul is ever alive. You can't kill any of your relatives. You're only killing their bodies. Okay? So, soul has no death. So, even within this body also, even within one lifetime also, the soul passes through one stage of body to another stage of body. From infancy, childhood to youthhood and then old age. So, soul is passing through different stages of body. But when the body becomes old, the soul will leave one body and go to another body. So, dhiras tatrana muhyati, an intelligent person, a wise person, should not get bewildered by such a change. So, that was his first lesson. So, by giving several arguments, he says that soul is eternal, body is temporary, therefore don't lament, fight. But Arjuna had some issue. I understand body is temporary. I understand soul is eternal. I understand I am not going to kill my grandfathers or relatives. I am only killing their bodies. But my argument is, I am connecting through them, connecting to them through their bodies. Through Bhishma's body only I am able to interact with him. Now the body is gone, Bhishma will go somewhere else. He will go to a different planet and he will stay happily. I am happy that he will be happy, but I cannot interact with him, right? Because the medium of interaction, body is gone now. Then Krishna says, that's inevitable. Arjuna, if you don't kill him, do you think that he will live forever? Someone else will kill him. If nobody kills him, he will die naturally also, right? He or all your relatives. So, therefore, you have to tolerate. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Sitoshna sukha daha. Agama payino nityaha. Tamstitikshasva bharata. So, please understand. Heat and cold, happiness and distress, they come and they go, they are temporary. So don't get affected by these temporary dualities. Learn to tolerate. People will take birth, people will die, they will get separated from you. You may not be able to interact with them the way you used to interact in past. So you don't have to worry about it. So you should tolerate it. Tolerate happiness and distress. Only if you can tolerate, you are eligible for liberation. Yamhina vyathayantyete purusham purushatshabha samadukha sukam dhiram so amrutatvaya kalpate. You are eligible for amrutatva, liberation, only when you are equipoised in happiness and distress. Samatvam yoga uchyate. That equanimity is yoga. So basically he spoke about the science of soul and tried to convince Krishna, convince Arjuna that he has to fight. That's one perspective, from jnana perspective. Now he is speaking from sakama karma perspective. He says, Arjuna, you said that you will not enjoy even if you win this war. Let me know, you will enjoy even if you lose this war also. Okay, so this is sakama karma. Working for enjoyment. For example, you win in this war. Then what happens? You will enjoy Hastinapur kingdom. If you lose in this war and if you die in this war, you will enjoy in heavenly planets, right? So, in either case, whether you win or lose, you should not give up your fight. That is your duty. So, enjoyment is guaranteed, either on the earthly planet or on the Swargalok. So enjoyment is guaranteed. Therefore, don't lament, just fight. So this is not the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So in our kids class, when I was saying this, one kid said, Prabhu, we have to go to Goloka, right? Why Krishna is speaking about going to Sargaloka? So I said, this is not the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So this is one of the arguments. He is giving so many arguments why Arjuna has to fight. One argument is, yeah, even if you see from the perspective of enjoying, enjoyment is guaranteed whether you win or lose this war. Okay, that is sakama karma. So next is nishkama karma. So nishkama karma yoga is, it's also called buddhi yoga here. So Krishna says that working for enjoyment is sakama karma, but working without desire to enjoy the fruits of your work is nishkama karma yoga. So try to perform nishkama karma yoga. Whatever may be the result, you should perform your work. So he says that sukha dukhe same kritva labha labho jaya jayau. Whether it is happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, success or failure, you have to perform your duty. Earlier he said, you perform your duty, you will get enjoyment. Now he is saying, whether you enjoy or not, you have to perform your duty. That's your duty. So that is nishkama karma yoga. So in this yoga basically means connecting yourself with the Supreme Lord. Yoga means linking your consciousness with the Supreme. If you try to do it through your activities, it is called karma yoga. If you try to do it with your knowledge, it is called jnana yoga. If you try to connect with Krishna through your meditation, it is called dhyana yoga. If you try to connect with Krishna through bhakti, devotion, loving service, it is called bhakti yoga. So all these four yogas are described in Bhagavad Gita. Now Krishna is speaking some basic principles of yoga at this moment. He says, vyavasayatmika buddher ekeha kurunandana bahushakhayanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means a bona fide yogi is one who has one pointed determination in his path. But one who is not a focused yogi, his mind is diverted towards 100 different directions. Bahushakhahi anantascha. So focus and concentration is required in yoga. Fine. That is called yavasayatmika intelligence. So then in this way he speaks about nishkama karma yoga. We have to perform your activity. Whether you get happiness or distress, don't be attached to the results. Okay? So more details will come in the later chapters. So after describing nishkama karma yoga, buddhi yoga to some degree, Krishna talks about the qualities of a sthita prajna, a wise person, the qualities of a liberated soul, jivan mukta. He says, vishayavini vartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjyam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. So when Krishna spoke about buddhi yoga or nishkama karma yoga, where the person is showing equanimity, tolerance, self-control, etc. So Arjuna asked Krishna, what are the qualities of such a person? How does he walk? How does he sit? How does he talk? How does he perform his actions with his senses? How does he restrain his senses? So Arjuna asked several questions about such a jivan mukta or sthita prajna. What is sthita prajna? Prajna means intelligence or wisdom. Sthita means one who is situated in it. So one who is fixed up in his wisdom and intelligence, one who is never deviated because of all the distractions in life, such a person is called sthita prajna. So what are the qualities of such a person? So Krishna simply says that a sthita prajna is one who has higher taste on spiritual subject matters. So because he has higher taste, he will naturally give up his attachment to lower subjects, material enjoyment. Fine. So if a child is crying for toys, he saw some cars in the showroom. There is a blue car and a red car. The child is crying for the car. I want a toy car. The father said, We have an original car. I purchased this car with 50 lakhs. Why don't you sit in this car? No, I want the toy car only. So the father takes him to the shop, and now the child is in a dilemma. Father sanctions it. 1,000 rupees is the car. Okay, take this 1,000 rupees. Take whichever car you like. Now the child is in a dilemma. Should I take red car, or blue car, or green car, or yellow car, or black car? So does it make any difference to the father? It doesn't make any difference to the father. But for the child, it makes a lot of difference. Say, red is his favorite color. If you give him a blue car, he'll be disappointed. But whether it is red or blue, it doesn't make any difference to the father, because he has higher taste of a real car, not a toy car. Similarly, a sthitapragna has higher taste of Krishna consciousness, worshipping Krishna, serving Krishna. Therefore, whether it is happiness or distress on a material plane, he is oblivious. It doesn't matter to him. When you are going on the road, there is a red signal, you have to stop. Green signal, you have to move ahead. Okay? And what is it? Orange signal, you have to get ready. Right? But when you are flying in an airplane, does it make any difference to you? Whether it is red signal or green signal or yellow signal on the road, it doesn't make any difference to you. It's of no relevance to you, because you are in a plane. Similarly, when you are in the plane of spiritual intelligence, spiritual consciousness, the happiness and distress and all the dualities on a material plane have no relevance to you. Such a person is called sthitapragna. Is it clear? So he has param drishtva nivartati. So with the qualities of sthitapragna, Krishna concluded the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Fine? So let's get into the third chapter, Karma Yoga. So Arjuna again became a little confused. So what am I supposed to do? Should I take to action or renunciation? Should I renounce this work? Because in second chapter, Krishna also said one thing. Durena yavaram karma. He said that you stay away from abominable activities, sinful activities. What did Krishna mean? Krishna meant that you are a kshatriya. You are supposed to perform your duty of fighting in the war. But if you are ignoring your duty, that is abominable, that is sinful. You have to perform your duty. You know what Arjuna thought? Arjuna thought that killing so many people in the war is sinful. Restraining from war is great. So what is abominable and what is auspicious, they are different from Krishna's perspective and Arjuna's perspective. Krishna meant that avoiding your duty is sinful. But Arjuna thought that performing my duty of fighting and killing people is sinful. Okay? So that's why he asked this question, action or renunciation? Should I give up the war? Should I perform my activity of performing fighting in the war? So then, Krishna elaborates more on the Karma Yoga part. He says that you perform your duty, but not for your enjoyment, but for the sake of the Supreme Lord. So if you kill a person out of your false ego, then you will be arrested. But if you kill a person who happens to be the enemy of the country, and if you kill the person on behalf of the country as a soldier on the border of the country, you will be given reward. So killing is common in both cases. An army soldier kills an enemy, a normal citizen kills a neighbor. So killing is common in both cases. But here he is doing on behalf of the government, to serve the government. But here, he is doing out of his own whimsical tendencies, right? Therefore, you have to perform your actions, karma, for the sake of the Supreme, to please the Lord. Then you will not get any reactions. You will not be arrested. But if you perform the same actions for your own sense gratification, you will get reaction. You got this point? So when you work to please the Lord, you will not get any sinful reactions. But when you do the same work for your own sense enjoyment, you will get sinful reactions. Clear? That's what Krishna says. Yajnarthat karmanon yatra. Loko yam karma bandhanaham. Tadartham karma kaunteya. Mukta sangaha samacharam. Yajnarthat karmano. Perform your karma's activities for the sake of Yajna. Yajna is sacrifice, but Yajna is one of the names of the Lord also. You perform your activities as a sacrifice and sacrifice the results to the Lord of the sacrifice, Krishna, then you will not be affected by the sinful reactions. So work for Krishna, simple. In simple terms, if you work for God, you will not get sinful reactions. If you do the same work for your own sense enjoyment, you may incur sinful reactions. That's the point. Okay? So you're fighting to protect dharma. What is it? Krishna has descended on this planet to protect dharma, right? So if Arjuna is fighting in the war to assist Krishna in protecting dharma, where is sinful reaction? But if Arjuna kills some people because of his own whimsical tendencies, there is sinful reaction. But Arjuna is just killing people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to establish dharma, and that is Krishna's purpose, Krishna's mission, right? Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So what is dharma? Whatever the Lord taught is dharma. And who is Krishna? He is the protector of dharma. Therefore, to assist Krishna in protecting dharma and fighting in a dharmic war and killing people to establish dharma is not a dharma, right? Therefore, there is no sinful reaction, okay? Don't worry about it. Then Krishna also talks about cycle of sacrifice. What? Not just fighting. Any activity that you do, you should do as an offering to the Supreme. Then you will not incur any sinful reactions. For example, you are eating food. To eat food, you have to cook food. To cook food, you should grow grains, right? So without grains, how can you cook and how can you eat? So even the whole process of, you know, agriculture, getting grains, cooking food and eating, all that can also be done as a cycle of sacrifice. Because the Supreme Lord gives us Vedas. And in Vedas, different types of sacrifices are performed. Prescribed actions and sacrifices are performed. As a part of that sacrifice, you worship different devatas, you worship the Lord Himself, and because of that sacrifice, raining clouds will be formed and the shower rains. Because of rains, you get grains. Only grains are your sustenance, your food. So that grains that you got by this method of sacrifice, you offer it to the Supreme Lord first and then eat it as His prasadam. So many times people say, you are asking us not to eat non-vegetarian food. You are eating vegetarian food, plants and grains. So are the plants not living beings? Are you not killing them? Sometimes you are uprooting pudina or whatever. You are uprooting these plants and eating them. So is it not killing? So there are multiple arguments that can be given. But to save time, let's give one simple argument now based on the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that if you don't offer that food, vegetarian food also, if you don't offer that food to me and eat, you're eating only sin. You're a thief. So to serve Krishna, you need some strength, physical strength. To get some strength, you need to eat some food. So that food you first offer to Krishna out of your gratitude and accept His prasadam and eat it, and you derive strength and to serve the Lord, right? So that's the cycle of sacrifice. Then, but if you are very mature, you are totally renounced from all material desires, then you need not perform your prescribed duties. But otherwise, you should perform your prescribed duties. Now you see, let me tell you, in this context, let me explain about the transition between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga means you perform your prescribed duties as a Kshatriya, or a Brahmana, or a Vaishya, or a Sudra, or a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, whatever it may be. There are some prescribed activities for you by the scriptures. If you perform those prescribed duties, you will be purified. Okay? Purified of what? Purified of all your sinful propensities and material desires. Okay? You will develop detachment. But if you are already purified of all material desires, you need not perform the prescribed duties. Prescribed duties are meant for your purification. But if you are already purified of all material desires, you need not perform prescribed duties. So that stage is called Jnana Yoga. This is Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means to perform your prescribed actions for purification of material desires and sinful propensities. Okay, and Jnana Yoga is the level of renunciation where you have no interest to perform a prescribed duty. You are already purified of all material desires. You are sufficiently detached and renounced. So that's a very mature way. So in that sense, the culmination of
Nishkama Karma Yoga can be Jnana Yoga from that perspective. Means a mature Nishkama Karma Yoga yogi is eligible for Jnana Yoga. Getting it right? So, by performing prescribed duties, he is purified of all sinful, all material desires. He developed great renunciation, detachment. So then he is eligible for Jnana Yoga. Okay? Arjuna says, yeah, I am eligible for Jnana Yoga. I have no attachment to material enjoyment, no material desires. Now Krishna says that even if you are qualified for Jnana Yoga, even if you are detached, even if you don't have any material desires, even if you are fully purified, still you should perform Karma Yoga. Why? To set the right example for common people to follow. Even if the teacher knows A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, but still, to teach the children, the teacher also may write A, B, C, D once again. Sometimes the teacher will take the hand of the child into her hand and then makes him write A, B, C, D. Teacher already knows A, B, C, D. So Krishna gives an example. I have absolutely no duty to perform. Namam karmaani limpante name karma phale spraha. I'm not obliged to perform any prescribed duties. But still I am performing prescribed duties to set an example for people to follow. I get up early in the morning. And I also do some meditation. I give charity to Brahmanas. I bow down in front of my elders and Brahmanas. So why Krishna has to bow down? He is setting a right example for common people to follow. Janaka Maharaj also, very elevated personality. He also performed his prescribed duties meticulously to set an example for common people. Why? Yadyadacharati Sreshtaha Tatta Devetaro Janaha Sayah Pramanam Kurute Lokastadanuvartate. Although you are qualified for Jnana Yoga, you should still perform your prescribed duty and perform Karma Yoga because common people will follow you because you are a celebrated warrior. You are a celebrity. Arjuna, in those days, he had so many military certificates. He impressed even Indra and Shiva also. He attained some astras, Pashupatastra and others. Right? He's such a celebrated warrior. If he runs away from battlefield, people will not think that, oh, Arjuna was so compassionate, that's why he left his war. Arjuna is so renounced and detached, that's why he left the kingdom. Nobody will think like that. People will think that you became fearful seeing Bhishma and Drona and you ran away from battlefield. Or even if they think that you did not run out of fear, they will derive another lesson from it. It is bona fide for Kshatriyas to show their back on the battlefield and run away. You are setting a wrong example. Better you perform your prescribed duty, even in a faulty manner, you should perform your duty only and set the right example for common people. You are a civil engineering student. Even if you think that I can do my computer science subjects nicely and sit in computer science department, it doesn't fit, right? So you should do civil engineering subjects only, right? So you are a Kshatriya, don't say that I can do begging nicely. I can do begging better than a Brahmana. Don't perform the duty of someone else, even in a better way. Perform your duty, even in a faulty way. Okay? So therefore, that's the example, that's the conclusion here. And also, Krishna is talking about Bhakti Yoga here. As of now, he's speaking about Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? Performing your karmas, prescribed karmas, with detachment. Fine. But if you perform the prescribed karmas with devotion, not just detachment, it becomes Bhakti Yoga. Getting right? So, let me tell you. That's why Prabhupada equates Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga together. In Karma Yoga, detachment is given emphasis. In Bhakti Yoga, attachment to Krishna, devotion to Krishna is given emphasis. Okay. If somebody performs Karma Yoga as an offering to Krishna, just to please Krishna, then it is as good as Bhakti Yoga. That's why Prabhupada says Karma Yoga is action in Krishna consciousness. So that highest devotional understanding of Karma Path, Karma Yoga, is given by Krishna in the 30th sloka of the 3rd chapter. मयि सर्वाणि कर्माणि सन्न्यस्याध्यात्मचेतस निराशेर्निर्ममो भूत्वा युद्धस्य विगतज्वरः. Till now he is saying that he says work without any attachment to the results. Sukha dukhe samikritva labha labho jaya jayo. Whatever may be the result, you should perform your duty with all sincerity, right? Be detached from the results. So detachment is emphasized so far. But now he is saying, mayi sarvani karmani, perform all your karmas as an offering to me, for my sake. It is devotional service directly. Sanyasya adhyatma chetasa, give up all your results of your work to me. Adhyatma chetasa, in such devotional consciousness you work. Nirashir, don't have any desires. Nirmama, don't have any possessiveness. Nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatajvaraha, give up your lethargy and fight. Very brilliant shlokas. We can discuss elaborately some other time. But this is bhakti yoga shloka. So karma, basically the word karma has multiple meanings. You know, right? Karma is action, basic meaning. Karma can also mean reaction, second meaning. Reaction to an action is also called karma. They say, this is my karma. He's talking about reaction, not action. Okay. Third, prescribed action. That action which is prescribed for you specifically, according to your varna or ashrama, is prescribed action. That's also karma. Karma can also mean fruitive action. Fruitive action means that action that you perform with a specific desire to get some result is called fruitive action. Clear? Karma can also mean the whole chain of actions and reactions. Total five meanings of karma. Okay. Oftentimes when Krishna said karma, he is either referring to action or reaction. Sometimes he is also referring to prescribed action. Okay. Mayi sarvani karmani. Do all your prescribed activities for my sake. Okay. So then bhakti yoga becomes, karma yoga becomes bhakti yoga. Now in this performance of yoga, there is one great obstacle. You know what is that? Lust. Kama esha krodha esha. Rajo guna samudbhavaha. Mahashano mahapapma. Vidhyena miha vairidam. Kama esha krodha esha. It is kama. It is lust that converts into wrath, anger when it is unfulfilled. Unfulfilled desires will make you angry. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavaha. This kama and krodha are results of rajoguna. Mahashano mahapapma. Please understand that they are extremely sinful and they degrade the soul. Right? So, please conquer lust, which is greatest enemy on the path of yoga. That's how Krishna concluded the third chapter, which is about karma yoga, where it can become jnana, it can become jnana yoga when you are mature in your karma yoga practice and become detached. And that karma yoga can become bhakti yoga also when you do everything for Krishna's sake. Okay, clear? Now, let's go into greater details of jnana yoga. So Krishna says that I have given this spiritual knowledge through parampara to all living beings. Okay. So what is that knowledge? The knowledge of Krishna and his attributes and everything about spiritual life. Okay. So this comes in parampara. Ivam vivasvate yogam proktavan ahamavyayam vivasvan manave praha Manu Rikshvakavya Abravit. So like that it comes in great parampara. So what is that knowledge? First Krishna talks about knowledge about his own self. He says, what is the sixth shloka? Janma karma cha medivyam evam yoveti tattvataham tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjunam. Krishna's janma, appearances, karma, all his activities are divine. If you understand the divinity of Krishna's appearance and activities, then you will attain the spiritual world You don't have to take birth again in this material world. Okay? So why does Krishna come to this material world? Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glaner bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srujamyaham. Whenever dharma goes down and adharma goes up, means what are the four pillars of dharma? Satyam, daya, tapah, shaucham. Satyam means truthfulness. Daya means mercy. Tapa means austerity. Shaucham means cleanliness. So these are the four legs of dharma. There are many aspects of adharma. Adharmam saihi trayo bhagna. In Bhagavatam we were discussing yesterday. So mainly the six anarthas, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, they're all aspects of adharma. Right? So when these attributes of adharma are becoming more prominent and the attributes of dharma are becoming less and less, Krishna comes to reverse the situation. Let dharma go up and adharma go down. So that is his purpose of appearance. That's the time of his appearance. Whenever adharma is flourishing and dharma is decreasing, so Krishna appears. To do what? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To protect the righteous people, to punish the vicious people, and to establish dharma, Krishna appears in every yuga. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. It is Krishna who appears in the form of Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Vamana, Narasimha, Rama, Parashurama, you know, in all these forms, in different yugas, to establish dharma. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Clear? So Krishna is being the source of all incarnations is very clear, very evident in his own words in the Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter. Okay? So, next. Krishna also is the creator of all paths. All paths culminate in Krishna only. He is the one who created the four varnas. Chatur varnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. He created four varnas. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But not according to their birth. According to their qualities, right? So Brahmana is one who has the qualities of austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, integrity, intelligence, educating others, not being greedy. So these are the qualities of Brahmanas, right? So the occupation is teaching. Kshatriyas, they are very courageous. So, and they never turn their backs on the battlefield. They are very resourceful. They protect people. They are the Kshatriyas. Okay. Vaishyas, they are too much into Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam, co-protection, agriculture and business. That is their duty. Shudras, they are innocent people, they serve all the other sections. From another perspective, a person is decided whether he is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, Shudra according to Gunas, not according to birth. A Brahmana is predominantly in Sattva Guna. You know Gunas right now. Brahmana is predominantly in Sattva Guna. Little bit of Rajoguna is also there sometimes. A Kshatriya is predominantly in Rajoguna with little bit of Sattva Guna. A Vaishya is predominantly in Rajoguna with little bit of Tamoguna. A Shudra is one who is predominantly in Tamoguna with Rajoguna as a secondary mode. Okay? So this is how Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are designated, not according to their birth, right? According to their qualities and activities. Okay? So, and how Krishna also says, ye yathama prapadyante tamsta taiva bhajamyaham. The way you approach me in a similar way, I will reciprocate with you. So that's another thing that Krishna gives. So like that, Krishna talks about many other aspects of jnana. Finally, he comes to this most popular shloka. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanahutam brahmaivate na gantavyam brahma karma samadhina brahma arpanam brahmahavir. So in short, brahma means spiritual. He offers spiritual oblations into spiritual fire. You are a spiritual being. You are doing a spiritual activity. Therefore, the result of this whole spiritual action is spiritual. You will attain spiritual destination. Is it clear? In simple words, this is the meaning of the shloka. So, every activity that you are doing can be called a sacrifice. Sacrifice is not just putting ghee into fire and chanting some mantras. Any bona fide activity that you are doing to attain a meaningful purpose is called a sacrifice. Okay? So then Krishna talks about different types of sacrifices. Brahmacharis have some sacrifice. They sacrifice their self-control sacrifice their senses in the fire of sense control. Right? And they also do swadhyaya. That's another sacrifice. Now all of you are studying Bhagavad Gita. This is another sacrifice. Right? So like that, every purposeful, meaningful activity can be called sacrifice. Okay? In that sacrifice, you offer something into something to get something. Right? Just like in a normal sacrifice, you offer ghee, oblations into sacrificial fire to attain something. Similarly, in any purposeful, meaningful activity, you offer something into something. You put some effort in doing some work to attain some results. That can be called sacrifice. Then Krishna gives a big list of all sacrifices. Right? So, brahmachari sacrifice, grihastha sacrifice and other people. So, there is a small list you can see in the Subodhani, in a small table. So, this is, and by doing all these sacrifices, you attain jnana. So, jnana is the result of karma yoga also. Means by sincerely performing your prescribed duties, activities, you will attain mature knowledge, realization. That is jnana or vijnana, right? So that jnana is a result of your karma yoga also. By performing all your prescribed duties. So you are as a chemical engineering student, you are supposed to mix some chemicals and do some experiments. By doing your prescribed duty of performing all the experiments, you will get realization. What is that? Center of gravity, 9.8. Okay, you will get some realization, some knowledge you will get. Okay, and you will not do that experiment again. You will get detachment also. Right? So, knowledge and detachment are the products of your karma. Right? So, a jnana yogi is one who is equipped with knowledge and detachment. A karma yogi, a neophyte karma yogi is one who is performing his prescribed actions to develop knowledge and detachment. A mature Nishkama Karma Yogi is one who is equipped with knowledge and detachment. He is qualified for Jnana Yoga. Clear? So, it will be more clear. Next 2 months you will study this only. Right? This is just the gist. So, there is another way of acquiring knowledge apart from doing your prescribed duties. You know what is that? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninah tattvadarshinah tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. To attain knowledge, transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge, you need to approach a bona fide guru. What should be your mood? Pranipatena, you should be submissive in front of guru. Pariprashnena, you should ask relevant questions. Sevaya, you should also render seva, service. Just by asking questions, you will not get knowledge. You will get some knowledge, but that knowledge is oftentimes on a theoretical plane if you just ask questions. If you render service, that knowledge will become realization. Yesterday we were discussing, right? To convert your knowledge into realization, you should do service. Okay, next. That's another method of attaining knowledge. So, fifth chapter. Fifth chapter is Karma Yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. Again, Arjuna had this doubt. Karma Yoga or Karma Sannyasa? Okay. Karma Yoga means you perform your prescribed duties to attain the Supreme Lord. Okay. You perform your prescribed duties, you attain the Supreme Lord. Sannyasa means to give up your prescribed duties and again attempt to attain the Supreme Lord. Okay. So, should I do Karma Yoga or Karma Sannyasa? Okay, karma yoga means performing your prescribed karmas, you try to attain the Lord. Karma sannyasa means giving up your prescribed duties on the basis of purification of your consciousness, you attain the Supreme Lord. You got it? Sometime back I was speaking about jnana yoga and karma yoga. So, a person who is qualified for jnana yoga can take sannyas. Sannyas means he is sufficiently purified of all sinful proclivities. Okay? Like, you see, Somebody prematurely takes to sannyas, although he has a propensity to enjoy in a material plane. What will happen? As a sannyasi, he will do all material activities, right? Therefore, such premature renunciation is not prescribed. You better do your prescribed duties, slowly develop detachment, then you take sannyas. That's what Krishna is saying, right? However, whether you are performing your karma or whether you are renouncing that karma and taking sannyas, both can be equal if you offer the results to the Supreme. You perform your activity and offer results to the Supreme. Second is, you give up your activity and then meditate on the Lord, right? In both cases, result is same, okay? But this is more practical, much easier. Karma yoga is much easier than karma sannyasa. Therefore, when Krishna said karma sannyasa in the 5th chapter, he is not talking about sannyasa of karma. He is talking about sannyasa in karma. Getting right? Sannyasa is renunciation. Karma is action. Krishna is not talking about renunciation of action. He is talking about renunciation in action. You maintained a renounced spirit in your activities. Don't renounce the activity itself. You work, but maintain a renounced spirit. Then you are as good as a sannyasi. But if you renounce the work itself, prematurely, right, then you will not get anywhere. You will just sit idly and meditate on some unfulfilled desires as a sannyasi, right? So therefore, premature renunciation is not encouraged. Performing work while maintaining a detached spirit, renounced spirit is encouraged, okay? So that's the subject matter of 5th canto, 5th chapter. So there are beautiful shlokas. 7th shloka. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma, vijitatma jitendriyaham, sarva bhutatma bhutatma, kurvan napinalipyate, brahmanyadhaya karmani, sangam tyaktva karotiyaham, lipyate nasa papena, padma patrami vambhasam. Just like a lotus leaf is waterproof, even though it is in the water. Similarly, a devotee, although he is performing so many material actions, he is unaffected by the material reactions because he does everything for Krishna. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Clear? So that's what Krishna says. Don't renounce artificially, prematurely. Perform your work as an offering to me, you are safe. Okay, that's what Krishna says. Then, Krishna also talks about a mature person, mature pandit. Vidya vinaya sampanne, brahmane gavihastini, sunicheiva svapakecha, panditaha samadarshinaha. Vidya, Vinaya Sampanni. One who has Vidya should also have Vinaya. Yesterday we were discussing, right? Knowledge that brings in arrogance is ignorance only. Knowledge that brings in humility is realized knowledge. Jnana, you attach ahankar to it. It's actually ajnana. Jnana, you attach Vinaya to it. It becomes vijnana. Vinaya, Vidya Vinaya Sampanni, right? Vinaya plus Jnana is Vijnana. Ahankar plus Jnana is Ajnana. You want to be Ajnani or Vijnani? You decide. If you want to be Vijnani, be humble. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Okay? So arrogance converts your knowledge into ignorance. Humility converts your knowledge into realization. So many people have so much knowledge, but they are unable to realize it, apply it, internalize it, absorb it, demonstrate it. Why? There is arrogance within. There is ego within. There is no selflessness. There is no humility. So, although a person has so much knowledge, because he does not have these Vaishnava qualities, he cannot realize what he is standing for. Right? So, here Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihasthini. A person, a pandita, a wise person, he will see cow, brahmana, elephant, dog eater. All five are on an equal plane. Are all five same? Dog and cow are the same, right? But why Krishna is saying a wise person will see all of them equally? There is spirit soul within all bodies. There is Paramatma also inside all the bodies. All of them are amshas of Krishna. Therefore, they are equal. Spiritually speaking, they are all souls. They are equal. Materially speaking, they all have material bodies made of earth, water, fire, and ether. Only the shape and size matters. Elephant's body is big. Dog's body is small. Brahmana's body is medium. Okay. But ultimately, the elements are same. So, from that perspective, they are all same. So, elephant and elephant is in Rajoguna. Brahmana and cow are in Sattvaguna. Dog and dog eater are in Tamoguna. So, this Brahmana, this Pandita is seeing all these three categories of living beings on an equal plane, considering them as children of God, amshas of Krishna. Okay. But in the name of having equal vision, you cannot lose discrimination. Right? So, we should understand, we should acknowledge the differences between people, at the same time, should acknowledge the spiritual equality amongst them behind their bodily differences. Is it clear? Fine. So next, Krishna concludes 5th chapter with a beautiful shloka. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhurdam sarva bhutanam jnatva mam shanti mrichyati. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. He is the bhokta. He is the enjoyer of all things that we do. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he is the supreme proprietor of everything, all the planets. Yet, although he is the supreme enjoyer and supreme proprietor, Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam, he is the supreme well-wisher of all living beings. If you know this, you are peaceful. If you don't know this, you are agitated. Right? So to be peaceful, understand Krishna is the supreme proprietor, supreme master, supreme controller, supreme enjoyer and supreme well-wisher also. Right? So next, 6th chapter. So you got the 6th chapter, up to 5th chapter, the flow is clear, right? 1st chapter, Arjuna's confusion. 2nd chapter, science of soul. And little bit of introduction to yoga. And qualities of sthita prajna. 3rd chapter, karma yoga. 4th chapter, jnana yoga. 5th chapter, karma yoga in greater detail. Karma sannyasa and other analysis. The qualities of a person who is on the level of nishkama karma, right? And there is a great emphasis that even if you are qualified for jnana yoga, and sannyasa, better take to karma yoga only to set right example for common people and to purify yourself, right? Don't prematurely take to renunciation. Otherwise, you'll have to step down from there. So, 6th chapter is dhyana yoga, the culmination of the first section. So, very simple, very difficult to practice, but very simple to understand. So, this is called dhyana yoga, which is also called ashtanga yoga because there are 8 limbs in it. What are the 8 limbs of Ashtanga Yoga? Yama, Niyama, means do's and don'ts. Then Asana, sitting postures, bodily exercises. Then Pranayama, Pora, Karechaka, Kumbhaka, inhaling, exhaling, breathing, breathing exercises. Then Pratyahara, Ahara means food, right? Pratyahara means regulating your food, not only eating. Ahara can refer to all the sense objects. Food is the sense object for the tongue. Nice music, sense object for the ears. Beautiful forms, sense object for the eyes. Right? Soft objects, sense object for the hands. Right? Skin. So, pratyahara means you withdraw your senses from all these sense objects, which are distracting. Right? So, that is called pratyahara. Pratyahara. See, these are the 5 preliminary limbs of bhakti yoga, of ashtanga yoga. Yama, niyama, do's and don'ts. Pranayama, Pratyahara, Asana. Okay, these are 5 preparatory limbs. Then comes the main 3 limbs. One is Dharana. Dharana means meditation on the form of Krishna. Dhyana means intensified meditation on individual limbs of the Lord. Samadhi means entering complete trance in that meditation. Okay, so in this Ashtanga Yoga, controlling the mind is very important. Uddharedatmanatmanam. Atmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva hyatmano bandhar. ఆత్మైవరిపురాత్మనః బంధురాత్మాత్మనస్తస్య యేనాత్మైవాత్మనాజితః అనాత్మనస్తు శత్రుత్వే వర్తేతాత్మైవ శత్రువత్. ఇన్ షార్ట్, ఇన్ దిస్ టూ శ్లోకస్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ యూ యూటిలైజ్ యువర్ మైండ్ టు అప్లిఫ్ట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, నాట్ టు డీగ్రేడ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. ఇఫ్ యు రెగ్యులేట్ యువర్ మైండ్, ఇఫ్ యూ కంట్రోల్ యువర్ మైండ్, మైండ్ ఈజ్ యువర్ ఫ్రెండ్. ఇఫ్ యూ గివ్ ఇన్ టు ద టెంప్టేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్, మైండ్ ఈజ్ యువర్ ఎనిమీ. గాట్ ఇట్? దట్స్ అ మెసేజ్ హియర్. సో దట్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ యువర్ ఫ్రెండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ కంట్రోల్ ఇట్. సో యూ నీడ్ టు పెర్ఫామ్ సో మెనీ ప్రిలిమినరీ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ ఆఫ్ అష్టాంగ యోగ టు బి ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్, టు బి ఏబుల్ టు అడ్వాన్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెడిటేషన్ ఆన్ ద లాట్. సో హీ సేస్ యూ షుడ్ బి రెగ్యులేటెడ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ యువర్ యాక్టివిటీస్. యుక్తాహార విహారస్య యుక్తచేష్టస్య కర్మసు యుక్తస్వప్నావబోధస్య యోగో భవతి దుఃఖః. ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ ఆల్సో కృష్ణ సైడ్ టు బి ఏబుల్ టు కంట్రోల్ ద మైండ్ యూ షుడ్ ఫస్ట్ రెగ్యులేట్ ద సెన్సెస్, బికాస్ మైండ్ ఈస్ గెటింగ్ ఆల్ ఇన్పుట్స్ త్రూ ద సెన్సెస్. వెన్ మై ఐస్ ఆర్ సీయింగ్ సమ్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, ఏ ప్లెజెంట్ ఇంప్రెషన్ ఇస్ స్టోర్డ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్. వెన్ మై ఐస్ ఆర్ సీయింగ్ సమ్ ఘాస్ట్లీ ఆబ్జెక్ట్, ఫియర్ సమ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్, అగ్లీ ఆబ్జెక్ట్, ఏ నెగిటివ్ ఇంప్రెషన్ ఇస్ స్టోర్డ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్, రైట్? వెన్ మై టంగ్ ఈస్ టేస్టింగ్ సమ్ టేస్టీ ఫుడ్, a positive impression is stored in the mind. When my tongue is tasting some very bitter things, a negative impression is stored in the mind. Like this, mind becomes a storehouse of unlimited impressions, emotions, feelings, thoughts, desires, right? So if you regulate your senses from unfavorable sense objects, then naturally mind will get minimal inputs, right? Because mind is getting inputs through the senses. Instead of seeing some nasty, ugly, unmentionable, obscene scenes, see something spiritual. Then the mind gets only spiritual inputs, not material inputs, right? So material beauty agitates the mind with a desire for enjoyment. Spiritual beauty pacifies the mind, soothes the mind, calms the mind. Have you ever experienced? You go and stand in front of Vrindavan Vihari, even though you are so agitated, even though you are mentally disturbed, your mind becomes calm when you see the deities. When you see a materially beautiful object, now people are seeing Vrindavan Vihari to calm their minds. So when you see a materially beautiful object, then naturally a desire to enjoy will sprout in the heart. So naturally the desires are not fulfilled. Okay, generally they are not fulfilled. Then you get into anger and all the dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangaste shopa jayate etc. will happen. So material beauty agitates the mind. Spiritual beauty pacifies the mind. So you need to regulate your senses from getting exposed to things that are not favorable for our progressive well-being. Spiritual life especially, right? Therefore Krishna says, yuktahara viharasya, in your eating habits, sleeping habits, recreation habits, working habits, be regulated. Don't overly work. Some emergencies are there, you have to stress yourself, of course. You have to serve more. Sometimes more service expectations are there from us, you have to stress a little bit. But in general, be regulated in your working habits, eating habits, sleeping habits. Okay? Then still, mind just goes here and there. What are you supposed to do? Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam asthiram తతస్తతో నియమ్యైతద్ ఆత్మన్యేవ వశం నయేత్. వేర్ ఎవర్ ద మైండ్ వాండర్స్, ట్రై టు బ్రింగ్ ద మైండ్ బ్యాక్ అండ్ ఫోకస్ ఆన్ వాట్ యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్, వెదర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ చాంటింగ్ ఆర్ హీరింగ్ ఆర్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ మే బి. ఎ మదర్ ఈస్ సిటింగ్ విత్ ఎ స్మాల్ బేబీ ఇన్ హర్ ల్యాప్. ఐఎమ్ గివింగ్ ఎన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్. ఓకే, అండ్ ద బేబీ ఈజ్ జస్ట్ గోయింగ్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ మదర్స్ ల్యాప్, touching the garland, okay, doing something. Mother may not say much. And touching the laptop, mother may say, hey, don't do that. Just moving the mic, and the mic is falling down, on the head of the kid only. What will the mother do? Mother will immediately drag the child back into her lap, right? So similarly, the mind is also like a restless child, wants to constantly explore. Some are like innocent objects like garlands, some are harmful objects like mic stand or something else, knife, fire, right? The child is attracted by the brilliance of fire and wants to touch it. So mind is like a restless child, just like a mother brings the child back into her lap whenever the child is going away. You also, like mother, should bring the mind back and focus on what you are doing. Right? So that's what Krishna says. Yato yato nischalati. He did not give mother example. I gave so that the message is more clear. Wherever the mind wanders, try to bring it back. Otherwise, if you allow the mind to go away, mind will also take you with him or her, whatever. I don't know the mind's gender. Right? So if you allow the mind to go away, mind will take you also along. Later, mind will not become liberal to you and come back. I gave you some liberty. Now you should allow me to focus on my work. You can't negotiate with the mind. If you give little liberty to the mind will take you somewhere, wherever it wants, and then mind will not allow you to come back. So be little strict with the mind. Not too strict. Okay. Be reasonably strict. Okay. So that's important. Arjuna says, it's difficult for me. I can't do it. Chanchalam hi manah Krishna. Pramathi balavadrudham. Tasyaham nigraham manye. Vayoriva sudushkaram. Krishna, my mind is extremely chanchal, very restless, very obstinate, very strong, very stubborn. I can control W-I-N-D. I cannot control M-I-N-D. Because Arjuna is a warrior, he had wind weapons, water weapons, fire weapons, this weapon, that weapon. So he can control wind also. But you flip that W vertically, it becomes M, right? Then Arjuna says, I cannot control this. Okay, mind I cannot control. So then Krishna says, I understand. Asamshayam Mahabaho. Mano durnigraham chalam. Abhyasena tu kaunteya. Vairagyena cha grihyate. Asamshayam Mahabaho. O mighty Amadarjuna, asamshayam. Undoubtedly, mind is very difficult to control. When somebody comes to you with a problem, don't dismiss it immediately. Right? So you should first acknowledge the problem. Yeah, I understand it's difficult. I understand. But please do this. Okay? Yeah, you have a solution ready. But you have to acknowledge the problem also. You can't totally dismiss. So Arjuna says, Krishna says, yeah, correct. I understand. Asamshayam mahabaho manor durnigraham chalam. But abhyasena tu kaunteya, if you practice, vairagyena cha grihyate, if you also have detachment, then you can control the mind. Right? Practice to become perfect. Okay. Where is water? You took the bottle. Someone is getting? Okay, thank you. So these are the mind control tips. So who is the greatest yogi? The one who focuses his mind on Krishna. He controls the mind, he regulates the mind, he withdraws his mind from all distractions and focuses on Krishna. He is the best yogi. Yogi nam api sarvesham. Madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataham. Of all the yogis, one who is constantly thinking of Krishna with love and performing loving service unto Krishna is the best yogi. Earlier Ashtanga Yoga is described, yama niyama asana etc., meditating and not sitting too low, not sitting too high, not eating too much, not eating too less, keeping your back straight, eyes half closed, deer skin, whatever, white cloth. So many rules and regulations. It's too much for me to handle. Okay, Arjuna said. Don't worry all that. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. You perform service to me. Think about me and always perform service to me. That's much easier for you. So he's the best yogi. So by the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna established Bhakti Yogi as the topmost yogi. So we completed first six chapters, which are the most difficult chapters in Bhagavad Gita. I said three sections, right? 1 to 6, 7 to 12, 13 to 18. Of all these three, the first section is more elaborate and deep and difficult to understand many times. Now you entered Bhakti Yoga, things will go very fast. Every chapter we can cover in 5 minutes, okay? Because it's pre-digested material, very simple stuff to understand, okay? So now let's go to seventh chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute. So Krishna says, Maya Sakta Manaha Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha Asamshayam Samagrammam Yathagna Shashitat Shrunu Maya Sakta Manaha Partha. Oh Partha, my dear Arjuna, you please hear about me. By hearing about me, you will understand me completely. Okay, he encourages Arjuna to hear. So if you hear, then you will develop knowledge about me. What is Krishna? What is knowledge about Krishna? Krishna talks about two of his energies. External energy and internal energy. Bhumirapo nalo vayuhu. Khammano buddhirevacha. Ahankara iti yamme. Bhinna prakriti rashtada. Krishna's material energy or external energy constitutes eight elements. Five gross and three subtle. Okay? Five gross and three subtle. Earth, water, fire, air, ether are the gross elements. Mind, intelligence, ego. Man, buddhi, ahankar, MBA. They are the three subtle elements. So these constitute the external energy of Krishna. What about superior energy? Spiritual energy? He says, apareyamitastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Beyond this material energy that constitutes eight material elements, there is superior energy, that is spiritual energy, called the jivas. That is also prakriti, by the way. Jiva is prakriti, not purusha. There is only one male in the entire creation. That's Krishna. Everyone else is a female. Understand? Right? Are you feeling uncomfortable? Everyone else is prakriti. Krishna is saying, not me. Okay? Everyone else is prakriti, only there is only one purusha. According to your constitutional position. But in the conditioned state, everyone is purusha. No, there is no prakriti only. Because everyone has this purusha mentality. Right? What is purusha mentality? I am the controller, enjoyer, master, proprietor, everything. So that mood is called purusha mentality. Whether the conditioned soul is in a male body or a female body, the tendency is to enjoy, control. That is purusha bhava. Right? So from the conditioned state perspective, everyone is purusha. Therefore, jiva is also described as purusha sometimes. From the constitutional perspective, jiva is not purusha, prakriti, feminine. Right? So, but ultimately speaking, jiva is neither purusha nor stri. Jiva is a servant of Krishna. Jivera swarupahai krishnera nitya das. Some jivas are in male bodies, some jivas are in female bodies according to their service. Some are gopis, some are gopas, some are cows, some are bulls. Right? So, ultimately the soul's designation or position as a servant of Krishna is a higher fact, eternal fact, in comparison to the souls being a male or female. Right? So that is not of great relevance. Souls being a servant of Krishna is a higher relevance. Clear? Is this clear? So next, Krishna talks about his own glory. He spoke about his energies, right? Now he is speaking about himself. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Mattaha parataram na anyat. There is no one superior to me. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is nobody in the entire cosmos that is greater than Krishna. Krishna is called asamordhva. Mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Means, Just like pearls are strung on a thread, for example, this garland is there. So there is thread here, visible here only, but not here. Okay. So without the thread, all these flowers, this gulchedi, gonda, yellow gonda, then orange gonda, they cannot stay together, right? So the invisible thread is Krishna. So Krishna may not be visible in this world immediately to the naked eyes, material eyes, because his spiritual personality, how can he be visible to material eyes? He may not be visible. That does not mean he is not there. Without him, nothing happens. So thread is not visible here. But without thread, none of these flowers can stay like this, right? Similarly, without Krishna, nothing in the entire universe exists, right? He is that invisible thread, string, that keeps all the things together. Fine? So next, Krishna says, Maya, we spoke about two energies, right? Material energy, spiritual energy. Material energy has all this, Bhumira, Punala, Vayuhu. Then spiritual energy is Jiva. Then he spoke about himself, right? He spoke about external energy, he spoke about material, he spoke about spiritual energy, he spoke about himself. Now he is speaking how this external energy is binding this spiritual energy, the Jiva. How Maya is binding the Jiva. And how the Jiva can come out. That also he speaks. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. So this material energy that has eight elements and the three gunas, that is binding the conditioned soul with so many attachments and aversions, tempting the soul. So how can one protect oneself from the allurements of Maya? Maya comes and distracts us in various forms. I hope you have sufficient experience. Anyone here who is totally unaffected by Maya? Right? Maya keeps attacking us. But how to protect ourselves from that Maya? Mamevaye prapadyante. Please take shelter of Krishna. Maya metam tarantite. You will be relieved from Maya. So, then Krishna said, there are different types of people who take shelter of Krishna. Earlier he said, you take my shelter, you will be relieved from Maya. But there are different categories of people who take shelter of Krishna. Not all are pure devotees. Some are little here and there, not fully pure devotees also. Who are they? Chaturvidha bhajante maham. Janaha sukritino arjuna. Arto jigna surarthi. Jnani cha bharatarshabham. Chaturvidha bhajante maham. Four types of people worship Krishna. Who are they? Artha, distressed people. Those who are in some distress or anxiety or difficulty, they will worship Krishna. They don't know much about Krishna. But they say, mandir gaya to shanti milta hai. Right? They're relief seekers, right? Because they're arthas, right? Artha bhaktas. If they go to temple, we become little peaceful. We become shant. So they are relief seekers. First, artha. Jignasa means inquisitive. They're very curious. Why Krishna is wearing peacock feather? Why Krishna is standing teda? Why his head is bent like this? Why he is playing flute? So there is a lot of inquisitiveness on a material plane also. So they become inquisitive on spiritual subject matters also. That is inquisitiveness, curiosity. Artha jignasu. Third is artharthi. Artharthi means money seekers, wealth seekers. Okay, they want money, like Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, then jnani, wise people, intelligent people. So they are little better than the curious people. Curious people are curious about everything. But wise people means they know there's something in this Krishna. Yeah, let me understand what he is. Okay. So these are the four types of people who try to say take shelter of Krishna. Okay. So, but pure devotees are higher than all these four categories. But ultimately one has to become wise, jnani. Not the jnani who wants impersonal liberation. This jnani is different. This is bhakti jnani. Okay. So, see, sometimes we want... We may unconsciously label, when we say karma, oh, karma, means material karma only we think, sense gratificatory karma only we think about. Every karma is not sense gratificatory karma. Karma is mat karma krin mat paramo. Karma can also indicate devotional karma also. Jnana, you don't have to stay away from jnana. Jnana can mean devotional jnana also, knowledge about the Supreme Lord. So, Krishna says now about the jnanis. బహూనాం జన్మనామంతే జ్ఞానవాన్ మాం ప్రపద్యతే ఆర్తో వాసుదేవః సర్వమితి సమహాత్మా సుదుర్లభః. బహూనాం జన్మనామంతి, ఆఫ్టర్ సో మెనీ లైఫ్ టైమ్స్ సంబడి హూ ఇస్ ఎ జ్ఞాని, సంబడి ఇస్ రియల్లీ వైస్ విల్ సరెండర్ అన్ టు మీ. సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇస్ వెరీ రేర్, సుదుర్లభ. ఓకే, సో హూ కెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ? వన్ ఇస్ కంప్లీట్లీ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ సిన్స్ ఓన్లీ కెన్ సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ. ఏషాం త్వంతగతం పాపం జనానాం పుణ్యకర్మణాం తే ద్వంద్వమోహ నిర్ముక్తాం భజంతి మాం దృఢవ్రతాః. తేషాం తు అంతగతం పాపం, దోస్ హూస్ పాప సిన్ఫుల్ రియాక్షన్స్ ఆర్ కంప్లీట్లీ గాన్. జనానాం పుణ్యకర్మణాం, దోస్ హు హ్యావ్ పుణ్య, దోస్ హు ఆర్ వెరీ పయస్, సచ్ పీపుల్ కెన్ ఈజీలీ వర్షిప్ కృష్ణ. విత్ సిన్ఫుల్ ప్రపన్సిటీస్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు వర్షిప్ కృష్ణ. సో దట్ కంప్లీట్స్ ద 7th చాప్టర్. నౌ వీ ఎంటర్ ది 8th చాప్టర్. Before break, I may not be able to complete 9 chapter. That is, ideally, I have to complete 9 chapters in 1.5 hours, 8:15 to 9:45. But I'll complete each chapter. Should I take 5 minutes extra and complete 9th also? Then there is a balance. Eighth is small. So, in the 8th chapter, beginning, Arjuna asks Krishna to explain 8 terms, 8 important terminologies. Which Krishna slightly spoke at the end of 7th chapter. So, in your regular classes, you know all those 8 terms. But the 8th term that Arjuna wants Krishna to explain is Antakala. How do I remember you at the time of death? So, entire 8th chapter is dedicated to attaining the Supreme after death. That's the whole subject matter of this chapter. Okay, attaining the Supreme after death. Let's see. 5th shloka. అంతకాలే చ మామేవ స్మరణ్ ముక్త్వా కలేవరం యః ప్రయాతి సమద్భావం యాతి నాస్త్యత్ర సంశయః. అంతకాలే చ మామ్ ఈవ, అట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ లైఫ్, అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్, ఇఫ్ యు రిమెంబర్ ఓన్లీ కృష్ణ, మామ్ ఏవ స్మరణ్, రిమెంబర్ మీ, ముక్త్వా కలేవరం, గివ్ అప్ యువర్ బాడీ, వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్? You will definitely come to me, Krishna says. If you remember Krishna at the time of death, then you will go to Krishna. But if you remember something else at the time of death, you will go there. You will attain that. Okay? That is next shloka. Yam yam vapi swaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram. But to be able to remember Krishna at the time of death is not that easy. Yesterday we were discussing about Ante Narayana Smritihi, Ajamil thing, right? So, we will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death only if we have a habit of practicing Krishna consciousness throughout our life. Okay? That is, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacham Mayyarpita Mano Buddher Mame Vaishyasya Samshayaham. తస్మాత్ దేర్ ఫోర్ సర్వేషు కాలేషు మామ్ అనుస్మర, ఎట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ యూ రిమెంబర్ మీ, కృష్ణ సేస్, రైట్? ఇఫ్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్ టు రిమెంబర్ కృష్ణ త్రూ అవుట్ యువర్ లైఫ్, దెన్ దర్ ఇస్ ఎ పాసిబిలిటీ దట్ యూ విల్ గో టు కృష్ణ ఆఫ్టర్ డెత్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఆర్ స్పేస్డ్ అవుట్ త్రూ అవుట్ ది లైఫ్ నాట్ డూయింగ్ ఎనీ డివోషనల్ యాక్టివిటీస్, వేర్ ఈస్ ద పాసిబిలిటీ ఆఫ్ రిమెంబరింగ్ కృష్ణ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్? సో లైఫ్ ఈస్ ఎ ప్రిపరేషన్, డెత్ ఈస్ ఎన్ ఎగ్జామినేషన్, దిస్ ఏ రైట్? సో we should do preparation throughout our life by remembering Krishna. Okay, so now my question is, Krishna is saying tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara, always remember me. He says yudhyacha, perform your yuddha also. While performing yuddha, how can you remember Krishna? Okay, Arjuna, he is shooting arrow at Karna, he remembers Krishna, he goes into ecstasy. And you will shoot arrow in Yudhishthir. Right? So, you should not become space dot, right? In Yuddha, you have to be alert. So how do you reconcile this? Mamanusmara yuddhya cha. You have to remember Krishna also, you have to perform your yuddha also. For Arjuna, yuddha is his duty. And for you, something else is the duty. So one kid asked me this question. Third standard girl asked me in online class. He says, I have exams, Prabhu. I have so many classes, I have to go to school, I have this and that. How can I remember Krishna always? Very thoughtful question, right? So the answer is that you may not be able to remember Krishna moment by moment. Nityam Bhagavat Seva means you don't read 24/7, but on a regular basis. The idea is that yes, we have to be Krishna conscious moment by moment, but that Krishna moment by moment Krishna consciousness is not only remembering Krishna every moment, but doing things for the sake of Krishna is also Krishna consciousness. This yuddha Arjuna is doing for the sake of Krishna, right? So therefore it is a Krishna conscious activity. That is also Krishna consciousness. Mahamanusmara is being achieved there. But whatever attention is required for that activity, you have to give that attention. In the name of remembering Krishna, you can't be spaced out. You can't do injustice to the service. Yuddha means whatever alertness is required to perform that yuddha, you have to give. For example, you are cooking for Krishna in the deity kitchen. You are cooking for Krishna. You are remembering Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the milk is spilling over. And the chapati is getting burnt. Okay. Or gas is finished. Or there is a big fire. So, like, and someone asks you, what are you doing? I am remembering Krishna. Sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara. Right? Krishna told me, I am following Krishna's instruction. Then you will not be allowed to cook anymore, isn't it? So when you are cooking for Krishna, you should give the necessary attention that is required for that cooking. You cannot just give up that cooking in the name of remembering Krishna, right? So perform your duties for the sake of Krishna, that is also Krishna consciousness. You ultimately, you are taking up an activity to serve Krishna only. So give that attention to that activity also. Okay. Mother Yashoda was feeding her milk to Krishna in Damodar Leela. The Padmagandha milk in the kitchen is boiling over, spilling over because of excessive heat. What did Mother Yashoda do? She kept Krishna aside and went to save that milk. Is she not Krishna conscious? She is more Krishna conscious than anyone else in this entire temple room. Right? So, when you are working for Krishna, when you are serving Krishna, give that service the necessary attention that it deserves. That is also Krishna consciousness. That is also Mahamanusmara. Okay? So, now, that's the difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. In Karma Yoga, there is emphasis on working with detachment. But in Bhakti Yoga, emphasis is on working with devotion. But when you are working with devotion, you may not be overwhelmed with devotional feelings every single second while doing that work. Whatever that work demands from you, that emotions you will definitely reproduce. For example, you are doing some service to Krishna, you are managing some 10 people there, some people are not working properly, you have to chastise them, give a feedback. Is that not Krishna consciousness? Don't say in the name of Krishna consciousness I am chastising people. But point is to get the work done, to get the service done very effectively, you may have to do the needful. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes strict with people who are not cleaning Gundija temple properly. Right? Is he not Krishna conscious? He's thoroughly Krishna conscious, right? So now let me in this context, let me tell you the slight difference between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga. Karma Yoga means you are attached to your work. You are offering the results of your work to Krishna, definitely. But you are attached to the particular flavor of work. Say, what is your favorite sweet? Gulab Jamun. He likes Gulab Jamun. Fine? So you made Gulab Jamun for your sake. And you offered it to Krishna, then you ate. Okay? That's one level. Now, before cooking, you will ask, what does Krishna want? Krishna says, I want butter. Then you make butter and offer it to Krishna, then you eat. Now, what did you do? You made Gulab Jamun according to your liking and you offered it to Krishna. Karma Yoga. Okay? and you first understood, you first asked what Krishna likes, and then you made it. Okay. So now in this case, the activity that you have done is done according to your inclination, your taste, your desire, your excitement. Definitely you offered the results to Krishna, no doubt. That's great. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yadjihoshi dadasiyat. But in your case, you understood which activity pleases Krishna. Before even performing that activity, you are thinking about the pleasure of Krishna. After performing the activity that you like, you are wanting to offer it to Krishna. But before performing the activity itself, you are thinking what pleases Krishna. So your activity itself is offered to Krishna. Yeah, the result of your activity is offered to Krishna. That's the difference between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. You got it? Right? First understand what Krishna wants from you. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam. And we'll understand what Krishna wants from us through Guru. Okay? So, a devotee is one who does an activity once he understands that it pleases Krishna. Okay? So, next. Krishna says in the 8th chapter, one more shloka. Ananyachetaha satatam yomam smarati nityashaham tasyaham sulabhaha partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Ananyachetaha satatam, one who is always thinking of Krishna, serving Krishna without deviating his mind to anything else, and smarati nityasaha, always remembering me. Such a person can easily attain me. See this word sulabha, it comes in 8.14, 14th shloka, nowhere else. So bhakti yoga is the easiest thing. Krishna, when he is describing about ashtanga yoga or jnana yoga or karma yoga, he never said sulabha. He said that sulabha is for bhakti yoga only. Okay. So next. He also talks about material world and spiritual world in this chapter. There is path of light and path of darkness, path of return, path of no return. So all that he says. Now he ends the whole chapter by saying, Vedeshu yagneshu tapasya chaiva, Daneshu yat punya phala pradishtam, Atyeti tat sarva midam viditva, Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. What you attain by studying Vedas, Vedeshu, Yajneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva. What you get by Vedas and Yajnas and Tapas and Danas, giving charity, Punya Phala Pratishtam, whatever Punya you derive by all these activities, you will get all of that by performing Bhakti Yoga, and you will get much more than that also. Right? Atyati tat sarva midam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. That is the position of bhakti yogi above all the other yogis. Okay? So next, 9th chapter. I may go up to 9:55, 10 minutes for this chapter. It's one of the important chapters. In this shloka, in this chapter, Krishna talks about Rajavidya, the king of all knowledge. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitramitamuttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumavyayam. So, Bhakti Yoga is the king of all knowledge. Knowledge about Bhakti Yoga is the king of all knowledge. Okay. And Krishna is going to reveal that secret knowledge to Krishna because Arjuna, secret knowledge to Arjuna because Arjuna has no envy. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave. I am going to reveal this confidential knowledge to you because you have no asuya. You are anasuyave. Asuya means envy. So when you have envy, you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. When you are unable to tolerate the greatness of another devotee. Now, in your Bhakti Shastri, yesterday someone said, he has memorized 500 shlokas. You have memorized 500 shlokas, right? Say, he has memorized 500 shlokas. Okay? You have memorized only 50 shlokas, for example. If you are envious of him, you cannot understand Gita. Sorry. Krishna is saying, not me. Right? So, if there is any envy in the heart, we cannot understand Gita. we cannot understand Bhagavatam also, right? So even in devotional circles also, even among sadhaka bhaktas also, sometimes there is this tendency of being unable to tolerate someone else's superiority over ourselves. Why is he so great? Why is he so talented? Why is he able to lead kirtan so nicely? Why when I am singing, people are running away? Right? Why he is able to manage things so nicely, where I am so spaced out in my management? So like that, there is some envy even in the hearts of a sadhaka also, when someone else is performing better. But the culture of Vaishnavas is celebrating others' success. Okay? You celebrate your success, that's good. But you try to celebrate others' success also. Kunti Maharani also says this. Even this non-envious nature is the qualification to understand Bhagavatam also. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. It says, nirmat saranam satam vedyam. Bhagavatam is understood only by non-envious devotees. To the degree you are non-envious, to that degree you will understand Gita and Bhagavatam. To the degree we have envy in the heart, to that degree our understanding of Gita and Bhagavatam are blocked. Don't allow envy to block your understanding of Gita. So next, Krishna speaks about his energies. He says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avasthitaha. He says, I'm inside the universe, I'm outside the universe, I'm everywhere in the universe. Universe is inside me, but universe is not inside me. Universe is, I'm inside universe, but I'm not inside the universe. So he says many things in this 9th chapter. It seems confusing, right? Let me try to clear these confusions to some degree. Okay? To some degree. Because if every confusion is cleared, why our philosophy is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva? It will be only Bheda Bheda. Right? So, Krishna is inside the universe. Do you agree with this? Okay. But Krishna is not inside the universe. Do you agree with this? No. Krishna is saying, not me. You have to agree. You have to agree. You have to explain it. Krishna is inside the universe because he is there in every nook and corner. He is Paramatma. Okay? Without him, nothing happens. But Krishna is not inside the universe means he is not dependent on the universe. His mind is not inside this universe. In the sense that he is not so obsessed with this universe. Right? He is detached. He is aloof. Despite being in the universe, he is detached from the universe. Say you have made a big building, 10-story building, with so much of money. Will you destroy it? Will you be happy to destroy it? Will you be comfortable to destroy it? But Krishna, he creates millions of brahmandas and within one breathing period, he will destroy everything. Breathing in, breathing out. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyati. When he breathes out, millions of universes are coming out. When he breathes in, all universes are destroyed. Done. Right? You create and you destroy. He's so detached. Right? So he's inside the universe to maintain it. He's not inside the universe because he's not dependent on it. He is not attached to it. Right? Universe is inside him. Do you agree with it? Universe is not inside him. Do you agree with it? Okay, let me give another explanation. There are three Purushavataras. You know what are they? Purushavataras. One is Mahavishnu. He is also called Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. So when he breathes out, millions of universes come out of his bodily pores. He is one incarnation of Krishna. He is Krishna only. But an incarnation, an aspect, that is Mahavishnu. So universes are coming from his body. Means he's outside the universe, isn't it? Earlier, inside universe is inside him. When he breathed out, they all came out. Means he's outside the universe. But he's inside the universe also. How? He expands himself as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and enters into each and every universe. As Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, he's inside the universe. As Kshirodaka Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is outside the universe. You got it? Okay. So, someone who is new to this, you will understand eventually. So, there are multiple forms of the Lord. One is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. When he breathes out, millions of universes come out of his body. And the Lord, to maintain each of these universes, he expands himself as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and enters into every universe. So, number of universes is equal to number of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnus. There are unlimited Garbhodaka Sai Vishnus. There is only one Mahavishnu. And within that universe, there are unlimited living beings and unlimited atoms. Within every single atom, the Lord is present as Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. In short, the Lord has multiple forms. So, in small forms, he is inside everything. In gigantic forms, he is outside everything. Okay? Is it simple to understand? So, once you enter Bhagavatam, you will understand more. So, he is inside, he is outside. Right? He is big. So, everything is inside him. Okay? He can become smaller than the smallest. Everything, he is inside everything. He has become greater than the greatest. He can accommodate everything within him. Okay? So these are a few things. Then Krishna says, Avajananti mam moodham manushim tanumashritam param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. When that Supreme Lord Krishna appears as a human being, some people deride him. They can't understand his divinity. Okay? So that is their misfortune. Fools, they cannot understand Krishna. So next. Krishna. But who can understand Krishna? Mahatmas can understand Krishna. How many shlokas are there in Bhagavad Gita? What is the middle number of 700? Number or numbers? Huh? 350 and 351, right? So now we are in 350 shloka. Today, now we will discuss 350 shloka and 351 shloka. That means we completed half Bhagavad Gita in what is the time? 100 minutes. We took 100 minutes to complete half Bhagavad Gita. So let's recite shloka number 350. That is 9.13. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah bhajantyananya manaso jnatva bhutadimavyayam. Krishna, right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, he describes who is a Mahatma. Who is a Mahatma? Three qualities are described in this shloka. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Number one is daivim prakritim ashritah. Who is the daivi prakriti? Srimati Radharani standing next to Krishna in the altar. You are a Mahatma if you take shelter of Srimati Radharani. Okay? First quality of Mahatma is taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. Daivim prakriti mashritaha. Clear? Second quality. Bhajantyananya manaso. You should perform devotional service unto Krishna without any distractions in the mind. That is second quality. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Clear? What is the third quality? Jnatva bhutadimavyayam. Understand that Krishna is the origin of all living beings. Someone asked, origin of Jiva, where is he? Okay. Krishna is the origin of all living beings. Jnatva bhutadim. Bhuta means not ghost. Okay. Bhuta here is living being. So bhutadim means he is the origin of all living beings. Bhutadim. So you got 100 laddus in your tray. So you distribute it to all the devotees. Right, two each. There are 50 people here. How many laddus are remaining in your tray? Zero, right? But Krishna, he is the Bhutadi. Means he is the origin of all living beings and all the planets. But his energy remains inexhaustible. Although he is the source of unlimited energies, although he is doing so many things, he remains intact. So his energy will never get diminished. Therefore he is avyayam. So, he is the inexhaustible source of all living beings and all planets. Right? So, who is a Mahatma now? Tell me the three qualities of Mahatma. Number one? He took shelter of Radharani. Next? Perform devotional service without any deviations in the mind, distractions in the mind. Third? He knows Krishna as the inexhaustible source of all living beings. Okay? So, these are three qualities of Mahatmas. So, there is one more extension of this shloka, that is 351 shloka. That is also middle shloka. Krishna says, Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dridhavrataha నమస్యంతశ్చ మాం భక్త్యా నిత్యయుక్త ఉపాసతే. కృష్ణ ఇస్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ టు డిస్క్రైబ్ ది క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ మహాత్మా. అపార్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద త్రీ థింగ్స్ దట్ హీ సెడ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక, నౌ హీ సేస్ సతతం కీర్తయంతో మా మై డివోట్ ఈస్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ chant my glories, chant my names. Satatam kirtayantoma. People ask, where is it is said in Bhagavad Gita that you have to chant? You, Hare Krishna, are saying chant. Krishna said here, right in the middle of Gita, he said, Satatam kirtayantoma, always chant my names or forms or glories, right? Yatantascha dhradhavrata. Second point is, you endeavor to your best to worship Krishna. Yatantascha dhradhavrata. With great determination, you endeavor to serve Krishna. నమస్యంతశ్చ మాం భక్త్య, ఆల్సో ఆఫర్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు హిమ్ విత్ డివోషన్. నిత్యయుక్త ఉపాసతే, ఇన్ దిస్ వే బీ ఆల్వేస్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ సేవా. సో దీస్ ఆర్ ది క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ మహాత్మాస్ ఇన్ కాంట్రాస్ట్ టు దురాత్మాస్. ఓకే, సో మహాత్మాస్ ఆర్ అనన్య భక్తాస్. సో నెక్స్ట్, బట్ దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ పీపుల్ హూ డు నాట్ వర్షిప్ కృష్ణ, ది వర్షిప్ డిఫరెంట్ దేవతాస్. సో కృష్ణ సేస్ they are not very intelligent. Why? Because their worship is avidhipurvakam. Even after worshipping devatas, at the end what do you say? Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana va prakritesva bhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmaihi narayanayeti samarpayami. You worship so many devatas and you, at the end you say narayanayeti samarpayami. Who is the supreme lord there? Have you heard of this shloka earlier? Anyways, devatas are representatives of the Lord. They are also living beings. Even the devatas are also living beings, jivas, who are specifically empowered to take care of some administrative affairs in this universe. Like in this country, there are so many ministers, right? There is finance minister, home minister, irrigation minister, education minister, what else? Defense minister. So many ministers are there. So to run a country or a state, you need multiple authoritative heads. Similarly, to run this universe, you need some department heads, right? Fire department is given to Agnidev. Water department is given to Varuna. Rain department is given to creation department, destruction department, criminal department, jails, Yamaraj. So all these devatas are representatives of the Lord. They are the managers of various affairs of this universe, administrators of this universal affairs. They keep changing. Today there is some finance minister, tomorrow someone else will come, isn't it? Similarly, today there is somebody who is occupying the post of Indra. Tomorrow someone else will occupy that post, right? So Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Shiva, Brahma, all these devatas are taking care of different affairs of this universe, and many of them are posts. Okay, and many of them are not pure devotees also. Every manvantara devatas keep changing. Okay, so therefore, worshipping these devatas for material benefits is a sign of ignorance. Okay, but worshipping Krishna, worshipping the supreme Lord and nourisher of devatas for to perform selfless service, that is the highest thing. That is called bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga means selflessly serving Krishna. Next, how that bhakti can be performed very effectively? Bhakti is very simple to perform. Even a poor person also can perform bhakti very easily. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti pahritam అశ్నామి ప్రయతాత్మనః పత్రం పుష్పం ఫలం తోయం. యు నో వాట్ ఆర్ దే? ఫ్లవర్, లీఫ్, ఫ్రూట్, వాటర్. ఇఫ్ యూ ఆఫర్ ఇట్ టు కృష్ణ విత్ డివోషన్, కృష్ణ విల్ బి హ్యాపీ టు యాక్సెప్ట్ దెమ్, రైట్? సో దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. నౌ కృష్ణ సేస్, ఇఫ్ యూ కెనాట్ డూ దట్, ఓకే ఫైన్, వాట్ ఎవర్ యు ఆర్ డూయింగ్, యూ ఆఫర్ ఇట్ టు మీ. యత్కరోషి యదశ్నాసి యజ్జుహోషి దదాసి యత్ యత్తపస్యసి కౌంతేయ తత్కురుష్వ మదర్పణం. వాట్ ఎవర్ యు డూ ఇట్ ఎస్ అన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు మీ. ఫస్ట్ స్టేజ్ 9.26 ఈజ్ You offer this to me with love. But 9.27 is, whatever you do, okay, do it as an offering to me. This is like one step little less. Details we can discuss in the regular class. Okay. So, after that, Krishna talks about his own partiality. Is Krishna partial? Anyone here? Is Krishna partial? He is partial towards his devotees. Okay, good. Let's see what Krishna says. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. Name dveshyo asti na priyaha. Ye bhajinti tumam bhaktyam. Maite teshu chapyaham. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I am equal to all. Sarva bhuteshu means not all ghosts. Sarva bhuteshu means all living beings. I am equal to all living beings. They are all my children. Okay. Name dveshyosti na priyaha. I don't envy anyone. I don't hold anyone specially dear to me. Okay. Krishna is impartial. Based on this half of the shloka. But in the second half of the shloka, Krishna reveals something more. He says, ye bhajinti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I am equal to all in general. But, when you say but, it's negating. Menu is very good, but in that sabji salt is more. Right? In that sabji spice is more. Okay. So, you understand? When you say tu, there is but. Means whatever statement you have made then, you should not take it completely true. So there is some conditions apply, star conditions apply. Free! Conditions apply. Star conditions apply. It's not fully free. You have to pay something before it, like that. So Krishna says, I am equal to all, but one who worships me with great devotion, I show some special inclination to that person. I am specially inclined towards my devotees, although in general I am equal to all. Okay. So now, this equal treatment is not literally equal treatment, it is appropriate treatment. You tell me, a father is equal to all children or not? Mother is equal to all children or not? Okay, you said yes. Now you will say no. I'll make you say no. Okay. A father has a second standard child and an eighth standard child. Okay. Second standard child needs a small shirt. An eighth standard child needs a big shirt. So if the father says, I am equal to both of my children and purchases a shirt of same size to both the kids, is equal to everyone? Right? So is that equality appreciated? Right? So mother says, I am equal to both my children. So second standard kid can take one chapati and eighth standard kid can take three chapatis. Mother says, I am equal to all my children. Both should take three chapatis. And the second grade kid is struggling. Or she will say both should take only one chapati. The eighth standard kid is struggling with hunger. Right? So here indigestion, there is hunger. So equality is not literal blind equality. It is appropriate treatment. Okay? You should reciprocate with them according to their need. You are serving prasadam. Someone says, I want only one chapati. You can't say, I am equal to all. You have to take 10 chapatis. I am giving. I have divided the quota like this. Okay. So you understand the needs of the person, reciprocate accordingly. So similarly, Krishna also is general, he is equal to all. And that equality is seen in his being present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. As Paramatma is present in everyone's heart, he is equal to all. But as Bhagavan, he treats somebody in a certain way, somebody in a different way. Okay. So according to their mentalities. Krishna said already in the fourth chapter, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashach dushkritam. Okay. Paritranaya sadhana means I protect the righteous people. Vinashach dushkritam means I punish the vicious people. Why difference in treatment? According to their mentalities. So Krishna is reciprocal. But actually speaking, Krishna is equal also. We said Krishna is equal, but Krishna said Krishna is partial also. But ultimately Krishna is equal. In what sense? So Krishna says, I am equal to everyone, but I am specially inclined towards my devotees if they worship me. I am impartial in general, but I can become partial to my devotees, okay, if they worship me. But is there any restriction on anyone to worship Krishna? Right? That means Krishna is impartially partial to everyone, because he gives entrance into the arena of his partiality to anyone. Isn't it? Anyone can become devotee and Krishna can become partial to him. Isn't it? Anybody can become a devotee. Anyone can practice bhakti yoga and Krishna can become partial to him. But otherwise Krishna is neutral. I am neutral to everyone, but I can become partial to someone if you perform bhakti. So that's another. Last message of this chapter. If a devotee does a mistake, what does Krishna do? Apichet sudurācāro bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hisah. Even if a devotee commits abominable sinful activities, Krishna will excuse that devotee and he will reinstate that devotee in his original glory as a devotee. Okay. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashati. Kaunteya, go and declare to everyone that my devotee will never perish. Now we need to understand this in a more mature manner. We'll discuss in the regular class all the details, but I'll give a small detail. A devotee never purposefully commits a mistake. Krishna says, even if a devotee commits a sinful activity, I will excuse him. That does not mean a devotee thinks Krishna will anyways excuse me. Namaya bhaktaha pranashyati. I can do anything I want. I can kill people, I can beat people, I can cheat people, I can loot people, I can do anything. Okay. So devotee should never think like that. Devotees don't think like that only. So devotees never purposefully commit a mistake, but accidentally, incidentally, circumstantially, unintentionally, by mistake, if they commit some mistake, Krishna will forgive. Getting right? So this shloka is not a license for a devotee to behave whimsically. Okay? This shloka is a hope-giving shloka. Yes, somebody, because of some reason, he became little off, but Krishna will excuse him. He will show some mercy. He will bring him back. So that's the hope-giving shloka, but it is not a license for us to become very lax in our bhakti. So Krishna says, when a devotee performs a mistake, it's not intentional mistake, it's unintentional mistake. Supposed to be unintentional mistake. But when a devotee realizes that mistake, then he will regret for it. So even great people also may sometimes do some mistakes. When someone does a mistake, if he's an honest person, honest devotee, he should realize the mistake or admit the mistake, regret for the mistake, and try not to repeat that mistake, try to rectify that mistake and remember that mistake to remain humble. So we should rectify our mistakes, not justify our mistakes. Devotee never justifies this mistake. So Krishna excuses such a devotee. Now conclusion of this chapter is manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskurum mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam Atmanam matparayanah. Manmana, always think of me. Bhava madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer obeisances to me. Mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah. Because you have dedicated yourself to me through these four ways, you will definitely attain me. There is no doubt. Okay? So with this, Krishna concludes the first half of Bhagavad Gita. And the conclusion of the second half of Bhagavad Gita also is the same, manmana bhava madbhakto. So that second half we will see in the second half of our session. It's 10 like that. So we'll meet around 10:45. Half an hour break. Shall we meet here only or in Gurukul? This is a good place, right? Yes, Prabhu. Temple hall in charge. Do we have permission? 10:45 to 12 pakado maximum. Before Rajbhog. We will culminate with Rajbhog, 1 hour 15 minutes. I took extra time here. I will cover it up there. Thank you.
I'm not taking questions because it's an overview, right? If I take questions, then we cannot complete it.